Extra innings, there's always a runner that starts on second. So DeGaudi will start on second. Castagnola is up. Can the Raptors get one home here? Top of the 10th, as Colin Daly will check in on the mound. The University of St. Thomas product, as Castagnola bunts and advances DeGaudi to third. Castagnola grounds out. He gets out at first, but DeGaudi's at third. And the leading run here 90 feet away in the top of the 10th. Raptors have gone into extra innings one time this season, where they lost off of a walk-off sack fly to Green Bay at Capital Credit Union Park. So Raptors 0-1 in extra innings this year. Levi Jensen is up. So Castagnola shows bunt and gets exactly what he needed to, advancing the runners, as Jensen check swings a ball and comes fully across 0-1. Colin Daly, a guy, a rising sophomore out of Cedarburg, Wisconsin. No balls and a strike. The 0-1. Way outside, as Spence had to come out quickly. Almost played goalie on that. So that ball went behind him. Sure enough, DeGaudi was coming home. One count here with one out. The 1-1 outside, and Spence reaches to his right and makes the grab. So two balls and a strike. Two balls, a strike. One down, DeGaudi stands at third. The 2-1 curveball comes across the plate, but just a bit inside for a 3-1 count. 10 combined hits, 7 of those to the Chinooks. Daly will come set, look at third, and serve the 3-1. Upstairs for ball number 4, Jensen will take first. So Jensen at first. DeGaudi at third, and we turn to the top of the order, Brandon Rogers, a guy who's been in this situation at times and called upon. So top of the order, Brandon Rogers will step in, but a mound visit from Trevor Joe in this infield, meeting with Colin Daly, and definitely some strategy being involved here. Where to make the right play, where to throw the ball if it gets grounded, or if it's a hit. So Brandon Rogers, a guy that's had 10 runs this season, well, 11 if you count today, because he was able to cross home plate, so he's at 6 RBIs as well. Rogers. Out of Iowa Western, team with 4 hits. And we'll serve inside as Rogers on the right ankle. Doesn't appear so. One ball, no strikes with one out. The set, the serve from Daly outside for 3 balls. Well, now never mind the count set. 2 balls and no strikes. So Jensen the leadoff at first. DeGaudi at third as outside. There's the third ball. So 3 balls now and no strikes. Three-oh count, one down, DeGaudi at third. Jensen leads off at first. The set, the serve from Daly as the ball popped up into the air to the shortstop, and coming under it and making the catch is Ressler for two outs. So that's not what the Rafters would have needed there, a pop out. As Ty Johnson is due up. So Johnson, a guy that's had six RBIs. Called upon to perhaps make his seventh. The serve, the throw, as Johnson pops on the left side, 0-1. Two down. Two runners on for the Rafters. The 0-1 outside for a ball, 1-1. Two down here, the 1-1, as Jensen was going to throw over, but at Johnson gets a strike, so 1-2 now with two outs. Can the Rafters get a run and take the lead here in the top of the 10th? The 1-2 from Daly as Johnson fouls off the right ankle but stays alive at the plate. Colin Daly, the right-hander, will kick, wind, and serve. Curveball outside for a 2-2 count. Jensen at first. Degatti at third. Brandon Rogers was able to pop out. Ty Johnson is up as Johnson lines one up into center field. And getting home is Degatti. And the Rafters take a 5-4 lead here in the top of the 10th. Johnson gets to first. Jensen at second. That's exactly what you need. Biggest pitch of the game for the Rafters. And they come up. They lead 5-4. As Chris Conniff is due up. Two outs here. Colin Daly sets and serves outside for a ball 1-0. But what about that? Ty Johnson drives one into the second base, and Jason Chafe. And Johnson gets the first, sends Degatti home as Conniff drives one, and that pops up over Jason Chafe, rounding third and stopping. As Jensen gets back to third, Johnson goes over to second. And now Johnson gets to second. Jensen comes home. The play at the plate. And he gets out. So the Rafters still lead 5-4 as we head to the bottom of the 10th. Can the comeback come true for Wisconsin Rapids? Find out next here on WFHR. We'll be back in a moment.
Of Wisconsin, SNS.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics Find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
On the 10th, we go as the Rafters lead 5-4. Can they hold on? That will be the question. It's due up for the Chinooks. Tag Gollert. So Joey Spence will be running at second. There's two outs for the Rafters. It was Ty Johnson who drove a ball into center field. So Blake Barker still at the mound. And Tag Gollert out of Missouri State. He's due up. Can it happen for Wisconsin Rapids? They lead 5-4. Barker, the left-hander, out of Seton Hill University, sets and serves as ball popped up on the right side. 0-1. Barker will come set. The 0-1. Swing and a miss outside. 0-2. So Barker ahead in the count. Joey Spence, the catcher, running at second. The 0-2. Swing and a miss upstairs. Three straight strikes. As one down, the Raptors two away from for securing their ninth win. Are they able to do it? This brings up Adam Cootway, the right fielder. So exactly what's needed. A leadoff strikeout for Blake Barker. Barker sets and delivers a grounder. Over to the second, the shortstop into Castagnola, the throw over to first, but that advances Spence to third. So gets out Cootway at first. Rafters one away from securing what would be a great victory on a night where the bats just weren't going, but they found a way. They are one win, one out away. Will Johannes, the first baseman out of Madison College, Barker will come set. And serve as Johannes grounds one into the second baseman in Conniff. The throw to Broussard at first. And that will do it. The Raptors secure their ninth win on a night where they're out hit 7-5. They win 5-4. What a night for the Raptors. They committed an error. They were down 3-0 early and had a comeback victory. Four runs in the top of the sixth. And then a big run off of Ty Johnson, RBI, in the top of the 10th to send Degatti home. Raptors win 5-4, and they currently lead in the series over the Lakeshore Chinooks 2-1. But for everybody at WFHR, for all the Wisconsin Rapids staff, fans, and players, my name is Joey Fear saying so long from Lakeshore. We'll be back here tomorrow. First pitch at 6:35. Raptors take the first game of this series. Good night, everybody.
You have been listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, Crescenda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
president to operate. So, you know, that to me, that speaks a thousand words right there. Obviously, his own recorded statement effectively admits the crime there, right? Like, hey, I've got all the secret stuff. I could have declassified it, but I didn't. But I'm sharing it to you now. Let me tell you, right? The attack plans or something. And that was pretty amazing. Speaking about speaking a thousand words, you know, the photos of lots of classified documents in like the toilet. There's one like strewn on the floor, right? That Walt Nauta found. I mean, it's sort of like, what do you like? What's your favorite piece of evidence? There's so much to choose from there.
Yeah, I mean, the pictures from the Trump Presidential Library were priceless.
Was that the toilet?
Yeah.
But I will just say, you know, you asked earlier before you asked me that question, you had also asked about the difference between this and let's say what President Biden allegedly did. And you could throw in others, Mike Pence or Hillary Clinton or whoever else. Okay. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, Biden and Pence are kind of in the same category. These are people who are vice presidents who left office. They had a lot of papers with them. And some of them turned out to be classified later on. They discovered them. They let the government know. They surrendered the papers. And there's an investigation. Now, I think Pence has already been cleared. Here's the crazy thing. Donald Trump was in exactly that same position shortly after his presidency. So there's a lot of boxes that left, that went down in Florida. He had a fantastic defense. His defense was, I was the president. There's a lot of people moving boxes around, a lot of boxes going around. How do I know what's in the boxes? How do I know what these people are doing? I'm the president. I don't keep track of what's in some random box. Great defense. If he had just said, okay, just turn everything back over, it would have been done.
Yep.
And it's super clear when you read the indictment that they asked him very politely, like pretty please with sugar on it, will you give us the stuff back? A bunch of times. They eventually issued a subpoena. Then there's this like personal visit, like where they came out like, hey, have you read our subpoena? Please give us the stuff. And then all he's doing is he's trying to obstruct and find a way to get these documents. They were like his diary, like it's almost like a kid's diary or something. It was like these classified documents matter so deeply to him that he was willing to risk going to prison for them. It was really something.
No, it's crazy. And I think a lot of it speaks to, to just who he is as a person, in my view. And I said at the beginning of the show, I think, you know, this is the first time in his life that anyone ever told him no, and he doesn't like it. And he's going to, as every 2 or 3 year old does, when you tell them no the first couple of times, they fight. They fight like hell to get what they want. This is how I see this.
Yeah, it's very juvenile. It really paints a bad picture of him. I mean, it is. One thing that really is something is, of course, to see how this is solidifying in many ways the support of some Republicans forever. They're still rallying around him. I mean, the picture it paints of him, even if you believe, I mean, there are defenses to this. The Republican defenses to this basically amount to two things. One is the Presidential Records Act means everything is his, okay, which is not actually what it says. It says basically the opposite. Or secondly, well, Hillary did it too.
Right.
Okay. Or Biden did it too, or whatever their thing is. But none of them are like, yeah, this is an amazing individual and he's doing a great job protecting our national secrets. Like, no one's saying that, right? Like, yes, like I lock my biggest secrets in the toilet as well. Like that's what I do. I like put my, you know, my will and my diamond jewelry. I put it all my valuables in my bathroom or
Hotel
ballroom.
I mean, if you read the indictment, you know, these boxes, they traveled. They were in a ballroom. Oh, yeah. They were over here. They were over there. They kept shuffling them around, trying to find places to hide them. I mean, it's just remarkable. Last question I've got for you, because, you know, again, what the Republicans are doing, and I think for their base, this rings, the victim card is what they've got to play, that this is all the DOJ doing Biden's bidding, that this is all a political witch hunt. They've weaponized the DOJ. Now, again, you've been a federal prosecutor. In looking at what's happened, I'm curious where your thoughts on that kind of a victim card being played is.
The funny thing, it's such a juxtaposition, Rick. The funny thing is, anybody reading this indictment sees that the FBI and DOJ gave him special treatment. He was treated with kid gloves. I mean, I'll just tell you right now, I was a federal prosecutor for a decade, and I've been in private practice for the last several years. I was in private practice before then. Now I've been in private practice for several years. I represent clients all the time. And I'm just going to tell you right now, my clients don't get this sort of special treatment. When they have some evidence the government wants, I don't get like the special, like a happy thank you note or, you know, request. Hey, here's a polite letter. Would you please get us the contraband in your house? Would you please provide that to us? Take your time, okay? But just, you know, you could just when you get around to it, would you please give it to us? I never get that. I mean, my I get calls from people like the FBI was trying, you know, was screaming at my wife saying I'm going to prison if I don't talk. I mean, that's the kind of calls I get from clients. I don't get calls like from clients who are like, oh yeah, you know, the FBI is going to take us at our word that we returned all this stuff. Just let them know that we've done it, and just they'll take us at our word. I don't get those kind of calls. So yeah. The idea that this guy is the victim of some sort of witch hunt, this guy is literally been treated with the biggest kid gloves. But the irony of the whole thing, Rick, is that's what makes the case so strong. If they had gone in the way they ordinarily would, like if you or I, if in your little recording studio, if there was a bunch of classified documents in there, the FBI wouldn't wait. They would just go in and take the stuff, right? They might have, you know, you might have some defenses if they did that to Trump. But with Trump, the fact that they were so polite, ironically, made the case much stronger.
So I guess last question, does he get convicted? And does he, if he's convicted, does he see jail time?
Okay. First of all, if he's convicted, does he get convicted? He should be convicted. If this was John Doe, I would say it would be virtually a certainty.
Slam dunk.
Slam dunk. The two words that really give me some pause is Eileen Cannon, and who knows, because she definitely could throw the case, tank the case, for, you know, again, you know, or throw the case if she wanted to. And then regarding prison time, if this was John Doe and he did not commit obstruction, it would be a few years if he pled guilty. That's what I've literally looked at comparable cases. People in the military just keep a bunch of docs in their house and for a few, don't give them back right away. They get a few years if they plead. With the obstruction, I would tell somebody, if you plead with the obstruction, maybe high single digits. If you go to trial, maybe low double digits. That would be my guess. But with Trump, who knows? I mean, Eileen Cannon could give him zero years of prison. It's a lot of discretion to the individual judge regarding sentencing. But I think this is as serious of a case as DOJ could bring. It may very well be the most serious case that DOJ ends up bringing.
We will see how this plays out. But Renato, as always, I appreciate you taking time from your busy schedule to keep us up on this and give us some thoughts. Thanks so much, man.
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Our good friend Renato Mariotti. Remember, check out his podcast. It's Complicated Podcast. I'll get links out on how you can take a look at that. Want to hear your thoughts, questions, comments, something on your mind? Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
I'll tell you one of my favorite stories over the weekend that I came across. It's one of those things that drives me nuts. St. Louis, there was a story of parents. And again, I look at Trump, bad parenting by Donald Trump's parents. I think so. Someone who, again, I don't think has ever heard the word no. But evidently in St. Louis County, there were parents who were angry. In fact, the word I think the report used was fuming mad that they weren't able to go to their child's eighth grade graduation ceremony. Oh, no, no, no. They were fuming. Social media posts. This is my problem with social media. They never give you the whole story. They give you the outrage. They give you the, I was turned away. And my poor precious, look at her cry because she's so sad. So I had to go look this story up. And this is one, again, what's wrong with our society and bad parenting. Turns out the little darlings that didn't get to go to their graduation, eighth grade graduation, were people who, well, poor attendance, fighting in school, other misdeeds. They messed up. And I started thinking back to when I was in school. I remember the 2 weeks before graduation. And the principal was very clear. You do something stupid, you don't get to walk. And kids understood that the ceremony of walking and getting your diploma was not about them. This isn't about the poor little precious eighth grader being able to walk and get, oh, I graduated from eighth grade. It had nothing to do with them. It had everything to do with the parents. And this is one of those weird moments where things have changed. Again, had I gotten kicked out of my high school graduation, and granted, I was not anywhere near the top of the class, my grandmother would have lost her mind. Had they said, no, you can't go, she would have been very unhappy because that meant something to her. And as students, you don't want to disappoint your grandparents or your parents, or at least I hope you don't. And this is where having, oh, I don't know, common sense, and having parents that enforce rules, this is important. And I'm glad that this school did it. My question, and this is where my mind went, why aren't all the schools doing this? Why have we allowed parents to run roughshod over the local public schools in ways that the bad actors, the ones who are causing problems, not doing their work, not showing up for class, they get rewarded like everyone else. And I know I sound like an old curmudgeon. No, you know, there might be problems. Yeah, there might be problems. It's called bad parenting. Because I go back to, and if my mother were alive and if I didn't get to, well, I think about, you know, so, you know, the milestones in school that had my mother not got to see, she would have beat me senseless. And I know we're not allowed to hit kids anymore. That's bad. But there's got to be some punishment. Like my kids, I've never touched any of my children, but they don't know that I won't. And that fear is much worse than that actually happening. And they wouldn't anyway out of respect. At least I hope they wouldn't. But this is where we've gotten to as a society. This is how we, and social media is a huge part of this. Because I've said a million times, social media is where people are the worst versions of themselves. They're the worst possible people online. For instance, I said at the beginning, I got COVID last week.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
They are our cuddlers and co-workers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people who love their pets and the pets who love their people, ensuring these families stay exactly where they belong, together. And you have something to offer. With an open heart and mind, there's nothing you can't do. There's no gesture too small or too big when it comes to helping. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. You can help keep pets and people together. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's matchingdonors.com. Matchingdonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit matchingdonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all. The gift of life. MatchingDonors.com.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps. Truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver. And we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered rain showers tonight. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Lows around 51. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs level off around 68. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 50. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 59.
Breaking rocks in a hot sun. I fall for law in a low one. I fall for law in a low one. I need
welcome.
welcome Juan, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call. I'm William Walter, joined by Luke Mathers. If you want to share a thought on the Donald Trump indictment with us today, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can be like Jeannie from Eau Claire. Jeannie, what are your thoughts on the Donald Trump indictment?
Well, guys, I don't know how coherent I am this morning, but I was very relieved and hoping, you know, and maybe have some solace that maybe somebody's going to hold this guy accountable, you know, after watching all the crimes that he's committed and throughout his life and while our president and after. I'm hoping that everything goes well, and I'm hoping that people with the RF to their name wake up at what they have. This is the most important, what I say, arrest or indictment that I've ever seen in my life. And while I was at the university, I started on my 17th birthday and graduated early from high school, my roommates at Eau Claire, they had the broom slate, and they were very active in trying to hold Nixon accountable for his crimes. So this makes Nixon look like a little baby crime compared to all of the crimes and all of the uproar and division and, you know, his obstruction. And his, it's unbelievable to me that he's still walking free. But one thing I want to say is he couldn't have did this alone. If it was just Trump doing this and people, you know, were honest and had integrity and believed in the rule of law, he never would have gotten this far. So I'm hoping if there is any integrity left in those who are serving us that have an R after their name, that they need to stop the BS and saying that this is a witch hunt, because they know darn well what he did, and in fact, a lot of them aided and abetted. So that's my two cents worth, guys. Thank you so much for taking up this subject, and you have a good day.
Oh, thanks, Jeannie. You as well. Now, that's a really interesting point that you brought up, because we are already seeing a number of Trump's allies rallying to his defense. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy tweeted that it was, quote, a dark day for the United States of America, unquote. It is unconscionable for a president to indict the leading candidate opposing him. Joe Biden kept classified documents for decades. The radical far left will stop at nothing to interfere with the 2024 election in order to prop up the catastrophic presidency and desperate campaign of Joe Biden, from Elise Stefanik, a New York Republican and the House GOP conference chairwoman. Jim Jordan said, sad day for America. God bless President Trump. You're exactly right, Jeannie. The keys to power are not held by one individual's hands. It takes a number of people to allow, to protect, to defend someone at this level with you know, so many criminally liable behavior having occurred, that you can't get away with this by yourself. Now, I will note that there are other Republican rivals who have taken the opposite approach and have been openly critical of Donald Trump. People like former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, who put out a statement saying that Trump has become a distraction and should end his campaign. Mike Pence, the former vice president, said that, quote, anyone who puts themselves over the Constitution should never be president of the United States, unquote. And former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who said during his kickoff event in New Hampshire last week that Trump is, quote, obsessed with the mirror, never admits a mistake, never admits a fault, and always finds someone else and something else to blame for whatever goes wrong, but finds every reason to take credit for anything that goes right, unquote.
Well, I think
it comes back to what we talked about earlier, right? Accountability.
It's important to note, though, that all three of those men that you just quoted are running against him in the contest to see who will be the nominee for the Republican Party in 2024. And so it seems like only the primary challengers, the Republican primary challengers in that presidential bid, are the ones criticizing the actions surrounding this indictment. It's going to be interesting to see. Law enforcement officials are already planning on a court appearance by the former president in Miami next week. And again, it's unprecedented. This gets talked about. No, normally, if you get indicted, you're not going out and airing your grievances in public. But apparently, this is what we're going to be talking about now until that court hearing, because the former president wanted his grievances to be heard, and it seems like he would rather have this be discussed in the court of public opinion that rather than the court of law.
Great point, Luke. Yeah, I mean, Trump himself said on social media that he has been ordered to report to the federal courthouse in Miami next Tuesday. Now, Miami is part of the federal district that includes Palm Beach, where Mar-a-Lago is located. It's possible Trump could face further charges in D.C., where the documents investigation led by Special Counsel Jack Smith has been based. However, it's looking like it's more likely to be Miami right now. And Luke, you had an interesting point before the show on what this could mean. Could you?
Well, already what we learned so far this morning, with further legal documents coming out of the federal court where this will be heard, Reuters is reporting that the Trump-appointed judge is going to preside over the initial court appearance next week. The same court-appointed judge that reviewed the original classified documents case and appointed a special master, which was then overturned on appeal. And so Elaine Cannon, I want to say it's either Eileen or Elaine, I don't know for certain, and I apologize, Ms. Cannon, but that federal judge is who is going to be overhearing this case as it gets brought before the federal judiciary.
Excellent point, Luke. So I'd like to hear from the people of Wisconsin, what are your thoughts on the Donald Trump indictment? Please give us a call, 844-967-2789, and you can be like Joe from Madison. Joe, former president was just indicted. What are your thoughts?
Great. Thanks for the opportunity to speak. I know, Luke, that your heart is firmly wedded to the importance of tangents, and I am all about tangents as giving a fuller context to things. I find it kind of amazing that one of Mr. Trump's lawyers, Jim Trusty, who had said in very belligerent, fighting tones yesterday, to the government, if they want to continue to play games, they're going to give it to us at 3:01 on Tuesday. Well, Mr. Trusty and another lawyer representing Trump, John Rowley, I believe is his name, both resigned, tendered their resignations this morning. And I thought, whoa, that's an interesting little sidebar, isn't it? And I couldn't find out what reasons were given for them to tender their resignations. And I know this happens, but I found it kind of amazing that, you know, they were slinging hard yesterday and out of the game as of this morning, which I found just fascinating. And in terms of your the question of what are other Republicans going to say about this, I did find I was reading one article that said that they're going to perhaps try to sell it as that Trump was just a really bad file clerk. And I thought, wow, that's nervy. Let's see if that happens. So anyway, I would be fascinated to find out why Mr. Trusty decided to leave the building along with John Rowling and tendered his resignation. Is he tied up with other cases? Does he think it's a no-go? Anyway, so that's a tangent I'd love to see picked apart in the next weeks. Thanks a lot for the opportunity, you guys.
Appreciate it, Joe.
Of course. Thanks, Joe. Yeah, I mean, we're going to see. We'll have to wait and see. That's we don't know exactly how this is going to play out. I think, Luke, an interesting tangent that you just brought up was, is Donald Trump trying to play this out in the court of public opinion rather than the criminal justice, criminal justice court, because he recognizes that his case is weak? Or is it because he just thinks that the public is going to naturally side with him? Is it a case of narcissism, as Chris Christie says, that he's unable to look in a mirror and see any of his own faults or take responsibility for anything? Is it that he's throwing anything at a wall to see what sticks? I mean, this is kind of unprecedented in more ways than one. As you touched on, very few people will come out and say, oh, yeah, I got indicted. Like, oh, bummer. Let's see what we can do about it. Let's see if we can figure it out. But Donald Trump has kind of made his entire political career based on what the public, his voters, his fans, let's say, believe about him. Even after the news Thursday evening, Trump began immediately fundraising, issuing an email appeal to donors under the heading Breaking Indicted, where he, of course, railed against the charges, rebuked the Justice Department, but said things like, I never thought it possible that such a thing could happen to a former president of the United States. I am an innocent man. Using this as an effort to try to generate more funds for his upcoming 2024 presidential race. Is this just a master of modern media who has figured out a way to really avoid all responsibility and accountability because he is able to have such a fervent base of support?
Do you think any of the big guy stuff, do you think any of the stuff that Republicans are doing in the House right now to, oh, we've got the information. We know what he's done. He got $5 million. He got paid off. You think any of that, do you think there's anything there? And do you think that's going to come out?
Well, I mean, you never know, but the reason I have doubts on it is this. Whenever you have a criminal case, and I will talk from experience, in my case, you had people coming forth that provided bizarre information, ridiculous at best information. I had received a free boat from the Shah of Iran's daughter. Somebody else gave me a penthouse to live in Georgetown. They, all these kinds of things. So those are, somebody that would have access to the case would say, well, that's in there. He got a boat from the Shah's daughter. It's in there. So if you read, all the people they interviewed, there's going to be some things like that in there. And in this case, I think at the presidential level, if in fact they had something tapes of Joe Biden saying, yeah, give me $5 million, and it's yours, I think that thing would have rolled out a long time ago.
Again,
we're going to be looking at allegations made as cases are, looked at or presented by the government. And again, I used a real example just now. Another one was a birthday party. They were going to investigate where supposedly somebody paid for a birthday party, which never happened. Stuff like that people throw out there. Yeah. So I think in the president's case, that's what you're seeing.
Yeah, as I said from the beginning, if you can draw me a line that isn't just Hunter Biden and Jim and the rest of them doing what relatives do with people in power and using their name to put a couple of bucks in their pocket. If you can show me how that there was a quid pro quo of Biden doing something for them to get something, unless you can show me that path, there's nothing here. Or do you see it differently?
No, unless there's a direct path. In my case, the government knew that they did not have a quid pro quo from Abramoff to me. They knew it. We knew they knew it. They knew they knew it. If they did have it, there would have been an indictment. They wouldn't have went back and forth of a poker table dance. We could indict. You want to do a plea deal? That if they have something, they go.
Yeah,
that's what they do. That's how they operate. Like I said, been there, done it. So they would have to have a quid pro quo on tape where it's, Joe Biden saying, why don't you give me $5 million and I'll do the following for you. They would have to have that kind of thing on tape.
Yeah. I want to get your thoughts. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show here with Bob Ney, former Ohio congressman, political analyst. I want to get your thoughts on the House because the temper tantrum, evidently the freedom kooks have... I guess they're ending. The headline read, they end their floor blockade. So the temper tantrum is I guess waning a little bit, but they're still thinking out how they can go after Kevin McCarthy. Any thoughts on this latest temper tantrum?
Sure. He's done a deal with them, is what the speaker has done, and let's call it a temporary deal because it's going to have to happen again. All right. So when they were asked about, what are you going to do? The media asked them, I think there were six or seven of them in the room at the time, the freedom people. This is before they went to the floor and stopped routine bills from going through the rules. And they said, what are you going to do? If he does this deal with President Biden and has a vote, we're going to vacate the chair. Who will vacate the chair? The media asked. One guy put his hand up. Can't remember which congressman it was, but one of them.
Serving Central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Currently, it's 73 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News on 540 AM WAUK.
Welcome back. This is Town Call with William Walter and Luke Mathers on this wonderful Friday, June 9th afternoon. And Luke, we touched on it before the break. I'm trying to start a new tradition around here with an idea that I came up with, again, totally by myself, with no help whatsoever and had nothing to do with you. We're going to be looking for the best Wisconsin headlines that you can find throughout the course of the week. And we want to talk about it on Friday. So if you have a great Wisconsin headline or you think something that just screams, this is Wisconsin, please give us a call, share it with us, 844-967-2789. I am proud to announce that I defeated Mr. Luke Mathers in rock, paper, scissors over the commercial break, which earned the right to share my Wisconsin headline of the week first. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that this is going to be our champion headline, and I did not want to give you the opportunity to swoop in front of me and steal it. So I'm reading from a piece at Fox 6 Milwaukee, Get Paid to Eat Cheese, University of Wisconsin Hiring Cheese Taste Testers. I will note that I found this article after Googling it right before the show started because I had the source material, a job offer at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, descriptive sensory panelist. The job summary states, the Center for Dairy Research is looking for individuals passionate about all types of food, but especially cheese, pizza, and other dairy products. Once hired, you will be trained to become part of a group of expert tasters capable of verbally describing their sensory experiences on the basis of appearance, texture, taste, and aroma attributes for research and product development purposes. Panelists should expect to be tasting up to 24 cheese samples and 12 pizzas a week, along with other food products. Now, Luke, a job description doesn't necessarily qualify for a great Wisconsin headline of the week, so I am glad I found this piece at Fox 6, but this can't be defeated, right? This has to be our champion. What is more Wisconsin than, hey, do you want to come eat cheese and we're going to pay you for it?
I'm searching my likes because I'm pretty sure I shared this story on Twitter 4 days ago, and this was my positive. I had two entries. I did my homework. Well,
my article was published June 8th, so that is inaccurate.
No. I shared the details of the job posting when the job posting started earlier this week, and I said, boy, that's a good job. And so this was my positive. I went in two directions with my homework. I found a great reason to be a Wisconsin in the headlines and a not-so-great Wisconsin kind of attribute that our state has in the second headline. So, yes, I did see this job posting. I did see this being used as a news story at several different outlets around the state today and yesterday.
Have you considered being better at rock, paper, scissors? And perhaps you could have presented
it's a chance
yourself.
What do you got, a 33% chance of winning? Now, I guess you could draw, so stop it.
I'm not a mathematician, Luke, but I am a champion rock, paper, scissors player. I'll teach you in the future. Let's see your headline. What do you got for me?
Hang on. I'm real quick. I'm looking for my I have to check the notes to see where what day I liked this because I'm telling you, I saw it already.
I believe you, Luke. It's here.
Yes.
I just think you need to get better at elementary school games.
Yeah. I don't think it's an elementary school one. I think that's a classic one. If you've got a most Wisconsin headline of the week, we want to hear it. 844-967-2789. Can it beat Will's Get Paid to Eat Cheese? Or can it beat mine, which I saw earlier in the week? And it's kind of just a depressing headline, really, because this was just one police department in southern Wisconsin that had this. But unfortunately, it just seems like this is a problem we as Wisconsin continue to have. Mine is over at the State Journal, the Wisconsin State Journal, with the headline, Janesville police make 5 OWI arrests overnight, including a 6th and 5th offense. So just the city of Janesville, Wednesday night into Thursday morning, arresting 5 individuals for operating while intoxicated. And that is just a very Wisconsin headline if I've ever seen one. It just pops up far too frequently, unfortunately. Folks, drink responsibly. Do not get behind the wheel, especially when it finds out, oh, your 5th and 6th offense for 2 of those individuals arrested in Janesville on Wednesday night.
Inexcusable. I wish we had kind of just stuck in with the cheese now, because it's...
Well, I told you, I had 2 directions to go with my most Wisconsin headlines of the week, and you stole the thunderous great one, so I had to share the depressing sad one.
Again, I will reiterate, Luke, get good. That's my answer to that.
I think you just found it because you follow me on Twitter. I think that's really just what it comes down to. I think this popped up on your feed because you follow me.
Oh, no, sir. No, sir. I did see a friend post it on Facebook, actually, so it was not from you, but I did not find it myself. I will admit that.
Oh, okay. You're not only a plagiarist when it comes to your cheese stories, you're a plagiarist when it comes to your most Wisconsin headline of the week segments, too.
Well, but I didn't steal it from you, and that's all that really matters to me.
You didn't steal both of them from me, that's all.
I don't like you use when I say rock, paper, scissors as an elementary game, I say that with love, in that children figured out the best way to decide how to handle our differences. I don't want to flip a coin. I want a skill-based challenge, something that I can consistently defeat someone like Luke at, because he is just not good at rock, paper, scissors. So
I don't think you can say that you consistently beat me at it when we've only done 1 edition of rock, paper, scissors either.
Is a 100% victory rate, okay? I am undefeated against you. Right before we end the break, I want to get to one last call. We got Ross from Middleton on the line. Ross, what's on your mind today on this Friday afternoon?
Hey, guys. So the Trump indictment, many of us on the left-wing side know he's guilty. People on the right-hand side, the Trumpers, believe it's a conspiracy witch hunt. The challenge, I think, is getting at these people who don't pay attention to the news, and I think that the Trump and the Trumpers are slowly eroding our faith in the FBI and the Justice Department, all those kind of things. They sort of feel like it's all biased. And if the challenge is do they feel like, you know what, maybe our justice system, maybe the whole country is just too political and they don't want to pay attention. The thing that I'm thinking is I would rather have Biden run against Trump. If Trump gets blown out by this indictment, then he also maybe gets knocked out of the primary. Then he's looking at running against DeSantis or somebody else. And then I think he becomes more vulnerable. And then the last thing is I'm worried about third parties coming in, and I think they're going to blow the whole thing wide open. So it's just, I look at it from the point of view of how can we win the presidency, but yeah, a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Good point, Ross. And that's something that we're going to find out in the coming days, weeks, and months. Like we said, it's a long process and the wheels of justice turn slow, but the national ramifications across innumerable different fronts, it's going to make a difference. It's going to be massive. This is a case that we are going to continue to see in the headlines going forward. So we've had a wonderful, wonderful first week with everyone. It was so much fun to join you on Town Call. If you'd like to participate next week, we would love to have you. Please don't hesitate to give us a call, 844-967-2789. Luke, it's always great to see you. Aaron, thanks so much for being here. I hope the two of you and all of Wisconsin have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
Talk to y'all then.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you
you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. And if there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.